In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In the first gospel reading, we have a very dramatic example of someone whose life was under the control of the demons. And in the second epistle, we heard about putting on the armor of God. It says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So it's important for us to learn how to wage this spiritual war that we are in against the devil and his demons. Now, there are two errors that one could fall into when it comes to the subject of the devil or demons, and that's, on the one hand, to give them too much credit, to think that they're too powerful, to almost think of the devil as like a counterpart to God, just sort of the other side of the coin. And we don't believe that. The devil is not God. The devil is not omniscient. In other words, he doesn't know everything. The devil is not omnipotent. In other words, he's not all powerful. And he's not omnipresent, which means he can't be everywhere at the same time. Those are attributes of God. But the devil is certainly a lot more powerful than we are. And he certainly can get around a lot faster than we can. We certainly aren't going to be able to outsmart him. But the other error that people fall into, and I think this is the bigger one that we fall into in our time, and that's to just dismiss the devil. The devil doesn't even really exist, perhaps, some people would go so far as to say, or if they do acknowledge that maybe he exists, to not really think of him as having any power at all. The devil is someone that we need to be on guard against, but we need to keep in mind that as big as the devil may be and as powerful as he may be, that God is infinitely more powerful than him. The name devil or Satan being the Hebrew word, devil just being from the Greek word diabolos, which is a translation of what Satan means. It means literally accuser or adversary. And the New Testament is also referred to as the enemy, which could be another way of translating this as well. He's referred to as the tempter, as the evil one. Christ, when he was speaking to the Jews in the Gospel of John, he referred to the devil as a murderer, a liar, and the father of lies. And in the Scriptures, we often hear references to the snares of the devil. The imagery that we have there is of a hunter who's laying snares that you can step into. In the 90th Psalm, we hear, "For he shall deliver thee from the snare of the hunters and from every troubling word." So that's God's promise that he will deliver us out of the snares of the devil if we'll simply cooperate with him. The devil also, in one of his more devious manifestations, is referred to as an angel of light. The devil doesn't always appear with horns and red underwear and a pitchfork. The devil appears often as an angel of light, and there are many people who are deceived into following false religions because they're following people who have been deceived by the devil when he tries to appear as an angel of light. What the Scriptures and what the Fathers tell us about the devil is the devil is a fallen angel. He was one of the greatest angels in heaven, but that he was lifted up in pride, and that he led a third of the angels into rebellion against God, and they were cast out of heaven. So the devil knows how to play like an angel of light because he once was one. But the question is how do we stand against the devil? The Apostle James tells us, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." Why will he flee from us? It's not because of any power inherent in us, but if we are covered with the grace of baptism, if we are armed with the power of the cross, all we have to do is resist the devil and he will flee, because we've got God on our side. We've got right on our side, and the devil won't be able to have anything to do with us if we're simply being on guard and resisting him. St. Paul in the Epistle to the Ephesians says, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil." You could also translate that as neither provide opportunity to the devil. And so what this is saying is that if we allow ourselves to be consumed by anger towards other people, we give the devil room. We give him an opportunity in our life, and he is able to get a foothold on us. And because we've given him permission, we've started operating like he does. We've given ourselves over to sin, and so we have provided him a means to begin to mess with us. And so being aware of the devil's wiles and resisting the devil means that you don't allow yourself to fall into anger. That's one of the reasons why it's especially important for married couples that if you have an argument, you don't let the sun go down on your wrath. As St. Paul warns you, you don't let that anger fester, because if you do, you're just allowing the devil an opportunity to possibly ultimately destroy your marriage. St. Paul in 2 Corinthians says, "To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it for your sakes, forgive I it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." So refusing to forgive people can also give the devil an advantage, give the devil a place, to give the devil an opportunity. Another way that we can fall into a snare of the devil is a snare that the devil is very familiar with because he fell into it himself, and that's the sin of pride. If we allow ourselves to be lifted up with pride and to think that we're something greater than we are and not ascribe any good thing that we're able to do to God, if we don't practice humility, then we allow the devil to ensnare us, and we can fall into great delusion. That's one of the reasons why humility is one of the great virtues, and it's a virtue that the devil cannot mimic. He doesn't know how to be humble, and he can't resist those that are humble. So if you're humble, that's one of the most powerful ways that you can fight against the devil. St. John the Apostle in his first epistle says, "In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother." So when you give yourself over to sin, when you give yourself over to hate or resentment, you are becoming a child of the devil. But if you don't do those things, if you allow Christ to give you the grace to live a holy life and to resist sin, then you become a child of God. You're living the life of a child of God, I should say. St. Peter in his first epistle says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." To be sober means that we're living a life where we're not giving ourselves over to frivolity. We're not giving ourselves over to drunkenness. We're not just partying. We have a sober attitude about our life and the war that we are waging, and to be vigilant, of course, is to be on guard. Many people sleepwalk through life. They pay no attention to their spiritual life, and if you do that, you're just asking for the devil to get you, because he, as I said, is much smarter than we are, but we have to be on guard. If we keep our eyes on Christ, we don't have anything to worry about. But we have to resist him, St. Peter tells us, with steadfastness in the faith. That means you need to come to understand your faith. You need to study the scriptures. You need to study the writings of the saints, and you need to study the lives of the saints. If we read the lives of the saints and we read the scriptures, we can see how holy men and women of the past were able to resist the devil and to recognize various temptations and to overcome them. Matter of fact, you can look at the greatest example of someone who resisted the devil, and that's the Lord himself. When he was tempted of the devil kept throwing temptations at him and even citing scripture to justify the temptations that he was presenting to Christ. And what did Christ do? In each case, he responded with scripture. He says, "It is written." And if you understand the scriptures, if you study the scriptures, when the devil tempts you, for example, to wonder, am I really forgiven? Has God really forgiven me? Am I really right with God? You can tell the devil, "It is written. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness." And that's a truth. You can't have a higher standard about forgiveness than God has, and God is telling you that if you confess your sins, he's going to forgive you. So if you've confessed your sins, then you're forgiven. And that's a truth that you can throw back in the devil's face. And if you study the scriptures, they will build up your faith. And if you stand on these promises of God, if you stand on and learn from the examples of the saints, then you will know that you can win this war, because it's not just you versus the devil, it's you and God. And God plus anybody is able to conquer anything and any problem. As St. John also says in his first epistle, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And as we hear in the Psalms, the Lord is my light and my Savior. Whom then shall I fear? The Lord is the defender of my life. Of whom then shall I be afraid? Amen.